How many are thankful for the rugged cross? For it's in that cross that we only find salvation. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John. If you can't find 1 John, go to the book of Revelation, take a left. You'll see Jude, then you'll see some John. He's the first one. As we look at this, I want to bring you a series the next few weeks entitled The Overcomers. And I don't want you to jump on the hyper-charismatic bandwagon of what they believe an overcomer is. They believe that you're an overcomer by the good things that you do, or by the money that you give, or by the health that you name and claim, or by the wealth that you name and claim. We don't get to name and claim anything. We are at the mercy of a sovereign God. We get to petition His throne, and oh, what a privilege it is to be able to petition His throne and to have access through the blood of Jesus Christ. But never, no, never, ever, ever do we get to tell Him what we're going to have Him do for us. So as we look at this, I want you to see that we're going to talk about the overcomers. If you're born again here today, you're not trying to overcome anything. Let me tell you this, it's already been overcome for you. So people who say, you know, I'm born again, but I'm still struggling, trying to overcome some things in my life, stop struggling with trying to overcome things that Jesus Christ died to overcome in your place for you. Because here's the thing, you're going to go to a grave trying to overcome things for yourself. And unfortunately, some of you are going to go to a grave trying to overcome things for yourself and then spend an eternity separated from God in hell because you tried to overcome on your own and did not trust in the grace and the mercy that only is poured out at the cross of Jesus Christ. So as we look at this passage, I'm going to clear some things up for you. And what I want to do is we're going to talk about this first week, the traits of an overcomer. We're going to look at three of them, three things that you can look into your life today, you can examine yourself, and you can say this, okay, based on this evidence, I am an overcomer through Jesus Christ. Or if you come to the conclusion today that based on this evidence, I don't truly know Jesus Christ and I'm not truly been born again. Listen, maybe you walked an aisle when you were a child, you prayed a prayer, you got dunked in a baptismal tank. Those are all your works, and unfortunately, you're going to try to base the fact that you're an overcomer based on the things you've done. Those things, in and of themselves, do not save people. They are just products of a display of a saved person. We're going to look at these traits today. Here's the thing. If you say, I don't have these traits in my life, some of you are going to leave here and you're going to say, I've got to develop these traits in my life. These traits don't get developed under human strength and human power. In fact, your human strength and your human power is in direct opposition to the traits that we're going to talk about today. These are only God-given, God-gifted traits that you will have as a born-again believer. And if you do not possess these to some degree in your life today, I'm going to go ahead and cut to the chase. You are not a Christian. Stop fooling yourself. Stop trying to fool all those people around you. Stop playing games. If these traits are not marking your life, there's an issue. What we are not talking about today is works that earn you salvation. We're talking about evidence that you've truly received salvation, that you truly are an overcomer through the fact that Jesus Christ has overcome on the cross for you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Feel free if you're born again today and that urge to shout comes up as we read this passage. You just go on and let it rip. We'll pause. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Pause. I'm thankful today that I'm born of God because I was born of the flesh until Jesus Christ resurrected my old nature, my old body, my old sinful self and gave me new life. So I'm thankful that I've been born of God. And he says this, he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, a very important word there, believes. Here's what he's not talking about for you scholars here today. He's not talking about a head knowledge or historical knowledge that Jesus Christ really existed. That's not the believe that he's talking about. We're going to talk in detail about that in a second. He says, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. So if you're going to love the Father, you're going to love not only the Son, you're going to love all of his children. Watch this. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. That's for you people who think it's so hard to obey God. As a believer, it is not hard to obey God. Here's the thing. As a non-believer, it was impossible to obey God. As a believer, the Holy Spirit has now inhabited you. You have the voice of God, the strength of God, the power of God to obedience living in you. It is not hard. In fact, it is the most simplistic thing that we have complicated in Christianity. My duty as a born-again believer is to die to the old. You know what dying to the old is? I don't want that. And the moment that I agree that I don't want that old life anymore, the Holy Spirit rises up and says, I second that. Now here's the power to do what you know to do. And He empowers me into obedience. I do nothing at all but rest in Him. So He goes on as we read. He says that His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Verse 5, He says, who is it that overcomes the world? He asks a question. Only he who believes, you can kind of write under there, trust by faith. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We're going to stop there. We're going to talk about that this morning. You say, well, I didn't see any traits. I promise you, we saw three evident traits that we're going to discuss this morning that will mark you as an overcomer. Number one, faith in Christ. We're going to look at the first part of verse 1, and then we're going to see that it's so important that in verses 4 and 5, he goes back to it and he grabs it again so that you get it. So let's look at the first part of verse 1 as we look at faith in Christ. How many of you would say faith in Christ definitely needs to be a trait of an overcomer? In fact, here's the thing. If you claim to be an overcomer and you don't have faith in Christ as the only one who can save you and give you eternal life and forgiveness of sin, you're not at square one yet. Faith in Christ. Did you know that faith in Christ is a gift? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of works. It is a gift of God. What? Faith or grace? We get an argument. Both! The whole package. You can't have grace without faith. You can't have faith without grace. It's a package deal. So here's the thing. If you're born again here today, it was gifted to you to have faith in Christ. What I'm not talking about is head knowledge. Anybody can read a book and go, okay, historically, even Josephus, a historian, documented that there were people who followed a guy named Jesus. So historically, we know this. There was a Jesus. Listen, historically knowing about Jesus, religiously knowing about Jesus, some of you are here today because you learned in Sunday school that Jesus loves me, this I know. And that's the extent of your belief just because somebody you loved told you that. He's never really revealed himself to you by faith. Let me say this, and it's going to break your heart. You're not truly saved. Faith in Jesus Christ is, He is everything. Complete trust in Him. That's what that word believe means. Trust with abandonment. That means this, and it's consistent with what Jesus taught the whole time He was on this earth. You leave your old life because you trust Jesus so much. You walk away from everything that you've ever known and everything that was familiar to you. And I promise you this, if you don't believe me, go back and look at every apostle. He left his old life and he clinged by faith to the promise of Jesus Christ. End of discussion. We have to stop thinking that we can have part of the world and truly say that we have faith in Christ. The two do not go hand in hand. Please understand that. Faith in Christ. He says this in the first part of verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who trusts in abandonment, leaves everything, blindly following Jesus Christ is a child of God. Don't dare say, because I prayed this little prayer and I walked the aisle one time with Brother Lovejoy down in his church, I'm born again. And your life never shows that you truly have saving faith in Christ. Let me help you out. You are not born again. If you haven't abandoned the old to cling to the new in Christ, you are truly not born again. I don't say that to hurt your feelings. I say that to shake you up and to wake you up this morning. Do not spend an eternity in hell settled with, well, I walked an aisle and I prayed a prayer and a guy baptized me and said something over me. And, you know, my life really never changed, but I prayed that prayer. It doesn't work like that. What is John telling us here? He's telling us about the traits of an overcomer. He says they'll have faith in Christ. He says it again. I told you he would reiterate it there in verse 4 and 5. He said, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Sorry, wrong verse. That's chapter 4, but that was good stuff. Go back to chapter 5. I was like, that's not what I'm trying to say, but it's good. Look at verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He's saying our faith rests in the fact that Jesus truly is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah who came to rescue man from sin. And if you have personally experienced that by faith, through Him giving you the faith to believe and calling you out of darkness and into light according to His will, not yours, if that has happened in your life, faith in Christ is evident. If it has not, there is no evidence of your faith in Christ. All you have is a normal wish, want, belief type thing going on toward Jesus. You've historically proven maybe in your mind that there's a Jesus. But how many of you would say, man, I lived that once, but I know that there was a time in my life where He gave me the faith to trust Him with everything. And that's the day that I was truly born again. Because I'll be that preacher who'll get up here and be honest. Guess what I did? I walked an aisle because everybody else was doing it. I got dunked in a tank because everybody else was doing it. I got a Bible from my grandma that said the day I was born again. And let me tell you something, I was no more born again than Satan himself. Because there was not a work of God that had begun by faith that led me to Jesus Christ, period, in my life. But I remember the day very clearly that God said, you don't have what you think you have. Let me give you what you've been missing all this time. And immediately I left the old and I clinged to the new under the power of God when He moved in and became my personal Savior and Lord. Faith in Christ, true saving faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross will be the mark of an overcomer. The mark, the first one that we're going to talk about today. True continued faith is also a characteristic. Don't just limit faith in Jesus to the day you got saved. I used to get irritated when they have Baptist testimony time and an 80-year-old woman stand up, I just want to praise the Lord for saving me. That's great. You saved me when I was 10. That's good. In the last 70 years, has Christ not done anything that you could testify about? Now, listen, I don't discount your salvation. That's great. Say, hey, 70 years ago, Jesus Christ saved me. And yesterday, here's what He's still doing as I walk with Him and I trust Him by faith. Isn't that fresh? I know, Jake, well, preacher, you're just discounting that poor old lady's personal testimony of Jesus. No, I'm not. I'm discounting that lady is still walking in faith in Jesus Christ in her daily life. Either A, she never really got it and she had this little event, or B, she's missed out on 70 years of by faith trusting in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this, it is the greatest thing that a human being can experience on this planet. You know what it does? As we walk with Him by faith, it causes us to long for Him, to see Him face to face. And one day, those of us who know Him, we will. Our faith will be made sight. And I cannot wait to that day when I stand before the Lord whole and complete, not struggling with sin, not struggling with self, not struggling with any ailments. I am there because my faith in Christ while I was on this earth is rewarded through eternal life. I long for that day. Those of you who are with me, say amen. That faith is a blind trust that Jesus is the only way to be saved. I know, man, we live in a day and time where all roads lead to God. That's fine if you're not claiming to be a Christian. You can believe that, John. Those of you who have truly been born again, you know this. There was one way because you tried to get there other ways before Jesus Christ opened your eyes to see the truth. How many of you tried to get to God? I'm just going to get to God by being a good person. Let me just ask you this sarcastically. How'd that work out for you? Oh, you learned how to pretend to be a good person pretty good? Because the Bible says there are no good people. There's none righteous, no, not one. That all have fallen short of the glory of God. That's truth. If you'd be honest with yourself, you would say that there's nothing in me that's good. Everything that's in me and in and of myself is bad. Longs to do wrong. But isn't it amazing when we, by faith, completely abandon that old life of sin? Because that's really what repentance is, in case you didn't know it. You turn completely away from what you were walking in. You turn to your only hope, Jesus Christ. Why do you do that? Because His Spirit leads you to do that. How? Because His Spirit opens your eyes by faith to see the things that you could never see before and you couldn't see on your own power. So here you are, you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a blind trust. It teaches you that Jesus is the only way to be saved. But listen, as a born-again believer, faith in Jesus is the only way to live. Faith in Jesus is the only way to live. Not the only way just to be saved. It's the only way to live. We as born-again believers are called, we're mandated to continue to walk in faith in Jesus Christ, to focus our eyes on Him, not on our agenda, not on our plans, not on our goals, not on our dreams, not on our life as we desire it. We're to focus on Him, His kingdom, and His will for our lives. Let me say this again. It is the greatest thing in the world. Do you think I want to be doing this? Do you think that one day I woke up and I said, you know what, Lord? More than anything in all the world, I want to be a preacher. Because preachers are so cool. You know, it was the furthest thing from my wildest imagination. In fact, when God led me to do it by faith, to lead me to just trust me, Kirk, I made every excuse in the world, but you know what kept getting thrown back at me? Faith in Christ. If Jesus says that's what I have to do and where I have to go, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to do it in a burdensome manner. It's not burdensome. Just like He said, I'm not going to do it because I think I have to. He changes my desires. I get to do this. I get to proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just here on this platform, but every day of my life, because walking in faith in Jesus Christ will always lead us to lead others to Christ, I assure you. Faith in Christ, trait number one, an overcomer. Let me tell you this, an overcomer will have complete trust in Christ as his or her only hope. If you're one of those people that are hoping that maybe you'll just barely squeak by and get into heaven, you're missing the point. Jesus Christ died that you could have an abundant and full life as you live it here. Don't miss out on that. Don't miss out on that because some preacher sold you a bill of goods and said, pray this prayer and everything's going to be all right. No, pray this prayer. Let me tell you this. Pray this prayer, mean it with all your heart, like the scriptures say to do it. Confess with your heart the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Confess that with your mouth. When you do that, let me just assure you this, all hell's about to break loose up on you. If you're living the easy life and calling it Christianity, it does not look like Christianity according to the Word of God. Everybody clear on that? That's some kind of Americanized idea that we've wrapped in an envelope that says Christianity, but we open it up and it's not really Christianity at all. Here's the cool thing. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff always comfort you. How could the psalmist say this? Was the psalmist not scared? Sure he was scared. But faith in his God gave him the strength that he needs. Listen, a trait of a born-again believer will be faith in Christ that endures to the end. Trait number one, faith in Christ. Second thing, he says this in the second part of verse 1. Very important, not only will there be faith in Christ, but there will be a love for God and his children. A love for God and his children. Look at this. You don't believe me? We're going to see that not only does he say it here, but he also says it in the gospel that he penned. But he says this in the first part of second part of 1. He says, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out all his commands. We'll talk more about that in a second. Love for God and his children. An overcomer will have a deep, intimate love for God. I think it's ingrained in those of us who are truly born again. You remember when you didn't love God? When you loved you? And all you really cared about was you? And then immediately when the love of God was lavished upon you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, immediately you left that day with a love for God that you'd never had before. You remember that? Let me say this. If you don't remember that, you got a problem. If you don't remember that, you got a problem. Well, how can you say I got a problem? Who do you think you are? I think that the Bible's true. Can I just tell you what it says? Paul says that I love him because he first loved me. He says this. Excuse me, that wasn't Paul. It's Peter. Was it John? Or does it really matter? One of the apostles said that. He said, if I love him because he first loved me. If you have King James Bible, he said, love him. But here's the thing. We love God because when he draws us unto him, he shows us one thing that it just blows us away. He showed me this. Kirk Hall, I love you in spite of you. Stop trying to clean up your act on your own. You're never going to do it. Stop trying to clean up your mouth. Stop trying to clean up your habits. Stop trying to clean up the things you do, the places you go. Stop trying to clean those things up. You can't clean those things up. Let me love you in spite of those things and show you the greatest love that you could ever imagine. A love that poured itself out on a cross in your place to rescue you from your sin. Let me show you that. How can I not love a God who loves me like that? That's why it's important that we see if you're truly born again, you'll have a love for God. Now, would you agree? Let me ask this crazy question. Anybody here disagree with that? You just read it in the Bible. That would be kind of not smart to disagree with that. But how many would be dumb enough to disagree with that? Okay, so we all agree, right? This is yes. This is no. We all agree. Remember that. We're going to get back to this. And I'm going to say, remember what you agreed about? Love for God and for his children. An overcomer will not only have a deep, intimate love for God, an overcomer will have a deep, intimate love for the people of God. That love that you have for God will turn into and flow into a compassion for others. Here's the thing. It's hard for you to really say that you're born again and you don't have any compassion for other people. Why? Because John just said it's going to be there. This is evidence that you truly love God, because you'll love what? His children. It's for all the people who say, well, you know what, I know you're not here today because y'all aren't here at church, but if you were ever that person who sat on your recliner, I don't have to be part of that church. Bunch of hypocrites. You don't have a love for God's children. You know why I'm here today? I love you guys. That's why I'm here. You know why I spend the time that I spend preparing, studying, doing everything that I have to do, enduring the trials that come my way, involved in, because I love you.
You say, well, he thought it was because you love God.
It is first because I love God, but secondly, he's given me a love for you. Did you know that Jesus Christ had a love for those that he came to rescue? Did you know that Jesus Christ not only had a love for those he came to rescue, Jesus Christ had a love for the guy who hammered the nail in his hand? How could I not have compassion on you? How could you not have compassion on me? How could we not love one another and that be a trait of a true believer like the Word of God says it's going to be? John, the same guy who penned what we're reading right here, inspired by the Holy Spirit in John chapter 13 and the Gospel, he tells us that, doesn't he? Doesn't he tell us that they'll know us because of our love for one another? You know what's sad? Most of the world knows the church because they bicker amongst themselves and fight over stupid things. People said, well, when we built this building, it was funny.
Well, he's doing the decorating.
Me? Why? Because we ain't going to have no fights up in here. You ever seen five women on a committee trying to decorate one thing? No, sir. Immediate dysfunction. I mean, look around. All of you got different color hair. None of it's yours. I've seen churches split and people hate each other's guts over the color of carpet or the color of the pews. I know what people say. Well, that's just you being a control freak, Kirk. No, that's me using a little bit of wisdom. Here's the thing. Understand. We need to love one another, and that doesn't have anything to do with love. That's a big breeding ground for a bunch of dissension. You know what we need to worry about? We need to worry about the brother or sister who's going through a hard time, to put our arm around them and to encourage them and to pray for them and to walk alongside of them and show them, you know what? I don't care. You've been born again, and I don't care if you trip 15 times. I'm here to pick you up 16. That's the love of Christ. Oh, we've seen it in the churches for years where they parade the little pregnant girl in front of the church and they rebuke her in front of everybody because she got caught. Where was the boy? That's what I always wondered. Where was the boy? I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I took a little bit of science in school, and I know there's got to be a seed to go along with that egg. Are you listening? What happened? The church didn't show the love for God's children. You know what we should have done? We should have put our arm around that young lady and said this. Watch, I know it's going to hurt your religious people's feelings. I've made mistakes too. And the only reason that I'm not here standing with you is because I didn't make the same mistakes, but I promise you, I got a list of them as long as I am tall. And here's the thing, I'm not going to condemn you because Jesus is not condemning you. What I want to do is I want to help you get back on the path of righteousness and realize that sometimes God's people make bad choices, but we're mandated by God to love them in spite of those choices, just like Jesus loved us. How do we not get that, church? We look down our self-righteous noses at them.
You know what so-and-so did? I can't believe what they did.
Really? You can't believe what they did knowing all what you've done? Listen, I don't say that for you so you can justify your wrong actions. Never. If I truly love you, I'm going to tell you, stop justifying your wrong actions. Stop making stupid choices. Jesus Christ died for you. That ought to mean something. And he died for you to live a life of obedience. We're going to talk about that in a second. He died for you so that you could experience what living righteousness is really all about. That's why he died. Not so that you can be perfect in this earth, but so that you can rest in his perfection. He says this. He said, one of these traits is going to be this, not only faith in Christ, but love for God and his children. Jesus Christ said it like this. Can we quote Jesus in church anymore? It's really going to mess people's theology up. Here's what Jesus says about it. Mark chapter 12, flip over there. I want you to see this. He says it other places too in the Gospels, but I happen to go to Mark this time. I feel like Mark sometimes gets left out. Mark chapter 12. Watch what Jesus said. Let me just preface this by they're trying to trick him. They want him to mess up. Hey, Jesus, what's the most important command? Hey, Jesus, what's the things we... You can carry that back to your seat with you. Then you don't have to... There you go. They're free. We provide them to all criers and people who have money doses, which would be me most of the time. So don't feel bad. The thing is, we look at this and Jesus, these people are... They're coming at him. They're trying to trap him. What's the greatest command? See what he says. See how much this guy knows. They're playing stump the preacher, right? Here's what Jesus says to him. I love it. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. He says, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel. You know why he said that? He said, here's what he said for you southern folk. Y'all better listen up. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, says this. So here's the thing. You know why he said that? He said, what I'm about to say to you is harmonious with everything you ought to know from the Father already. Watch what he says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. He said, love God with everything you have, everything you are, every fiber of your being. Then he says this, and the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So I ask you this, how many of you ate breakfast this morning? How many of you on your way home are going to see somebody homeless and without are going to get them something? Sure got quiet up in here. No, you're busy. Busy doing what? We ought to be busy having compassion on those who do not have. He said the second one is this. We knew the first one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You fed you today. What about that person who comes up and you know they're an addict, they're strung out on dope, and they tell you, I want a hamburger. Do you buy them a hamburger? Because compassion buys them a hamburger. Here's the thing. Do you buy them a hamburger without condemning them for their stupid choices? Yes. You buy them a hamburger, and you know what you do? You open the door to share the love of Jesus Christ, not only by embracing them right where they are, but now, hey, since I bought you a hamburger, can we have a quick conversation? I want to tell you about a love that you can't even imagine. Because I know this. I know you're searching for love. You know, you didn't even bring up their addiction, did you? But that's what they're doing. They're searching for love. I know you're searching for something. You know how I know that? They're going to look at you like, how do you know my business? Because I was searching for love one time too. And you know what? I didn't find love probably exactly the same way or try to find love exactly the same way that you try to find it. But I assure you of this. I was created with this vacuum in me that wanted to find love and acceptance. And I looked all over for it. And you know what's awesome? One day when I was minding my own business, still trying to find it, it found me. And God came to me and He showed me how much He loved me, and He loved me enough to send His Son to die on a cross in my place to pay the greatest penalty that I could ever imagine anyone paying for me. And He did it all for free. And not only did He do it for me, He did it for you. Will you listen to what I'm telling you, people? You can do anything under the sun, and if you don't have love behind it, you are a bunch of noise. Because the mark, the birthmark, the trait of an overcomer, one who's overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ, the birthmark is going to be that resembles Jesus Christ's love for God and His love for others. Jesus said, you will have this. An overcomer will be marked not only by His love for God, but His love for others. Number three, I promise you, I'm almost done. We've seen that number one trait of an overcomer was faith in Christ. Number two was love for God and His children. Number three, obedience to God's Word. This is where I said you're going to get in trouble if you agreed with me earlier. Watch what he says here in verse 2. Y'all flip back over to 1 John 5. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. How many of you say, I have finally in my Christian life found joy in following the Lord in obedience? Praise and honor and glory to Him. There's no greater place for a truly born again person to be. I promise you this, if you're truly born again and you're not there, you're the most miserable person on the planet. If you're not born again and you live any way you want, it doesn't really matter. You don't have a second thought about it. It's just what you do. It's how you're wired. I pray today that God would unwire you and change who you are. Obedience to God's Word. An overcomer will persevere in obedience because Jesus obediently persevered for us. How many of you still get that Jesus was our model? Was Jesus 99.9% obedient to the Father? 100%! Hey, you can't get any higher than that, can you? He was 100% obedient to the Father as an example to all of us who would follow after. Obedience. Why is it not important anymore in Christianity? That's what I want to know. Listen, and I understand, you're going to trip, you're going to get in the flesh, you're going to make mistakes, but you know what an obedient person does when that happens? They get on their face, they repent of their sin, they confess it to the Lord, and they trust in the Lord's strength till the next time when that comes around to be obedient. An overcomer will persevere in obedience because that was the example Jesus has given all of us. Not only will we live an obedient life before God, but we'll also live an obedient life before man. And that will be a testimony of our true allegiance to Jesus Christ. You know why it's important that we're obedient to God's commands? Be they commands from His Word or be they leadership from the Holy Spirit in your life every day. You know why it is important for us to obey those commands? Let me help you out. Not so God will be impressed. Here's the thing. God already knows whether you're going to be disobedient or whether you're not on every single occasion that you have, an opportunity that you have to be obedient or disobedient. He already knows. Praise the Lord, my righteousness is not found in my obedience. My righteousness is found in Jesus Christ, which then leads to my obedience as a follower of Jesus Christ. You know why it's so important that we live obedient lives? Because there are other people watching you, verifying if your claim to faith in Christ is backed up with walking and believing like Jesus said to walk and believe. Did you know this? Even pagans in our country, can muster up about 5 of the 10 commandments on their own just because they've been exposed to them. Did you know that? They can. Did you know in every culture they have some type of commandments that resemble the 10 commandments of God because He put those in us to follow? Go like this if you've never been outside of your little bubble here. Every village I've ever been in Mexico, guess what? They had a list of commandments that they lived by, whether they knew Jesus or whether they didn't. They lived by these rules. The chief made sure that if everybody lived by the rules, unless it was him, and then he could fudge the rules a little bit, because that's what legalism always does for us. But here's the thing. The privilege in this, watch, is now that we're truly born again, we get to be obedient to God's commands, so that others will see God's goodness and the righteousness of Christ in us and be drawn to that which He's given us in Christ. So here's the thing. I get to be obedient to bring glory to God. I always sing songs about, Lord, be glorified. You know how God wants to be glorified in your life? Let me help you out. Through your obedience as a born-again believer. Through you humbling yourself from time to time in front of all these people, get on your face and say, God, I'm sorry that I've been disobedient. But from this point on, I need your strength to be obedient in this area of my life. And you name it, whatever that area is, I promise you, He already knew about it. It's not newsflash. God's not there going, Kirk's been disobedient. No, every sin that I'm ever going to commit, every sin that I've ever committed, every sin that I've forgotten about was nailed to a cross outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. But here's the deal. I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to walk in the presence of God and to be a representation of His obedience and righteousness and His glory on this earth, the people who need to see Jesus Christ in me. You say, well, you sound like you got it all figured out. No, I promise you, I've blown it more than I've gotten it. But I'm thankful that I get it today more than I did yesterday. As I grow in Christ, I see the importance even that much more. That I have to be obedient in the little things. And if I'm obedient in the little things, the big things take care of themselves, don't they? How many of you guys ever had a football coach tell you something to that degree? Man, that'll preach all day long, won't it? Obedience. obedience to God's Word. So ask yourself, is my life marked with the trait of being obedient to God's Word? Or do I just pretend to be obedient on Sunday morning? And the rest of the week I look just like my coworkers. The rest of the week I look just like my lost family member. You got to ask yourself this question, because I would never, ever, ever jump into your life and tell you the answer to that question. But here's what you told me. We look back and we talk about, can we all agree that it's important as a born-again believer to love other people? Y'all said yes, right? So if we really love other people and we're really concerned about leading them to Christ, and we will lead them through Christ as a display of obedience to Him, do we really love other people if we're not being obedient? Now watch this. Do we really love God if we're not being obedient? And He said, if you love me, you'll keep my command. So do we really have those traits in our life, or do we just know the churchy answer because we've been to enough Sunday school class? I don't know the answer to that. You'll have to examine your life. But I know this, an overcomer will be marked by these three things according to what we read in 1 John. Faith in Christ, love for God and His children, and obedience to God's Word. Those are the birthmarks and traits that John outlines for us of an overcomer. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? So we come to the point in this message where we ask ourselves that question personally. Better yet, we come to the point in this time where we ask God that question in reference to us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, what I want you to do, if you've never done this in your life before, maybe this is the first time, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to ask this question to God. God, do I bear the traits of hope? God, am I truly born again? Or did I make some little decision because some preacher urged me to do it? Or did it mean anything? Here's what I know about God. He doesn't want you to be in the dark about this. He's going to reveal to you exactly what you need to see. The Bible says if you seek Him with your whole heart, there you'll find Him. I'm asking you to seek Him with your whole heart today and ask Him this question. God, am I an overcomer? Do I fit the description? Do I have the birthmarks? Do I have these traits? Lord, I've seen Your Word today, and Your Word testifies that a true born-again overcomer will have these traits. God, do I have these traits in my life? If you don't, number one, you're not truly born again. Or number two, you're being disobedient in your walk to Christ. These altars are open. We'll be up front to pray with you in just a moment. Maybe you're here and you say, Kurt, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Man, I've played the church game. I walked the aisle. I prayed the prayer. But today's something different. God is pulling at me like I've never been pulled at before in my heart. And today, I feel like I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and to trust Him to be the overcomer that He's been for me personally today. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now? You say, I need Jesus to save me from my sin. I'm willing to turn from my sin and myself and to turn to Him as my only hope of eternal life and salvation. Raise it up high. I need Jesus to save me today. Raise it up where I can see you. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Thank you. Keep that up for me, young man. I need Jesus to save me this morning. Anyone else who say, that's me, preacher. You're talking to me. I need Jesus to change me today. I'm willing to surrender my life to Him for real right this moment. Anyone like that says, that's me. Anyone else? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Young man, I want you to look me eye to eye. You believe right now that God's telling you in your heart to surrender to Jesus Christ. You believe He's given you the faith to trust Him as your Savior and your Lord. You're willing to turn your back on sin and self and turn to Him. You believe that He's doing that work in you. Because listen, this preacher couldn't save you. I couldn't save myself. But I tell you this, I know a God who reaches down out of heaven into the life of a young man who will rescue you from your sin this very moment. Are you willing today to confess your sin and to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? I want you to pray this prayer with me. I already told you, praying prayers doesn't save people. What this prayer is, it's obedience to the Word of God. It says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. We shall be saved. You believe Jesus died on the cross for you? You believe on the third day He rose from the grave, just like the Word of God testified? You willing to allow Him to surrender to Him today as your Lord and your Savior? Pray this prayer with me. I want you to pray it out loud. meaning with your heart to Him. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that today You are calling me personally to leave my old life of sin. Jesus, I confess You are my Lord. And I'm repenting of my old life. I need You to save me this very moment. Thank You for giving me faith to trust in You as my Savior and Lord. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me on a cross. Thank You that You rose again so I can receive new life today. Fill me with Your Spirit. Teach me to live this life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Young man, I want you to look at me. Give me business with God today. Surrender to Him. I believe it. I want you to do me a favor. While these folks are praying, I want you to ease out of your aisle right now. Come down here. JD is going to talk to you. He's going to take the Bible. He's going to show you what just happened in the unseen realm that you now walk in. What a glorious Savior we have who will rescue a young man from a sin, from a self. Anyone else that says, I need Jesus to save me too, preacher. I need to surrender my life to Him. Would you slip up your hand? I want to pray with you and pray for you. Anyone else that says, that's me. I don't want to leave this place without knowing that I know that I'm truly born again in Christ. Anyone like that? And I'm assuming that the rest of you are all born again believers. I hope that my assumption is not wrong. So I open the altar for you. Maybe you're that believer who says, Kurt, oh, I've seen these traits in my life, but to be honest with you, I'm behaving in manners that I ought not behave as a Christian, and I'm convicted of that, and I know that. And I'm willing to lay those things down. Listen, you don't have to come to me. Go directly to the throne of God. Humble yourself here at the altar, at your seat. Say, Lord Jesus, thank You for convicting me by Your Spirit of this thing in my life. I turn it over to You. I turn from it, and I turn to You for strength and victory over it. Whatever you do today, allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your heart. These folks down front are here to pray with you and to pray for you.